announcement. The only announcement I saw was you want to announce about a session of meeting today instead of next week. Okay, this committee want to meet. Okay. All right. Announcements this morning are in your bulletin. One of note is there will be a session meeting today. It was changed from next Sunday. For any other committee meetings, please check with the chairperson. Last week, if you were not here, you missed a wonderful children's worship service. They did a great job. Thanks to all that helped out on that. Kelly and Susan. I think Melanie helped with the music and Savannah. But what a wonderful time. And Catherine Birdsong, if that was her first time to speak, she did a wonderful job. We also dedicated the building, had a great meal. Everything just went great. Are there any other announcements anybody else would like to make that I did not mention?
Grace Team Yard Sale, that's Saturday, Friday and Saturday the 19th and 20th. If you got any junk you'd like to donate, appreciate it. I'll come and get it if it's big. Close, rather not. That'd be the consignment sale would take the clothing. They don't do that anymore. Okay. Yeah, Grace Works would be a good place for clothing. All right.
On the 20th, Saturday night, 20th of May, the Bethel College performing team called Renaissance will be here. About 54 kids in the team. We need about 30 places for college students to spend the night. There is a sheet somewhere that's got some names already on it. I thought it was right back there. And if you'll take, I think we got four people, and four times three or four is about 12 places already taken. And if you'd like some to host three or four or one or two college students from Bethel College, the Cumberland Presbyterian College in McKinsey, Tennessee, we'd like for you to have that opportunity. We also want to just call to your attention, they'll be performing here at 7 o'clock on Saturday evening. We will feed them, but we think that's taken care of. Tommy Markham is going to prepare supper for them that night. They will also be at Tushnellum Church on Sunday morning, and they will take care of the breakfast for them. Be about 54 in the group, in the traveling group. Very good, entertaining, spiritually uplifting. Can you do both of them together? Presentation.
Are there any other announcements? Yes.
I just want to recap last evening down at the Triune United Methodist Church. We gathered together for a Meals on Wheels fundraiser. I don't have a final count on how much was brought in, but in spite of it starting to sprinkle during our choir performance, so I think they're playing electric keyboard with rain coming down. But and then we all moved inside. So in spite of that, it was wonderful hearing all the groups, just local choir, some of them. Very different kinds of music, and that was fun, but I think the highlight was definitely the mass choir at the end. I feel it's like one of those mountaintop experiences when we had to move inside and heard all those voices together singing as one. I honestly thought either Jesus was going to come tonight or the roof was going to come off. It was just so amazing. So thanks to all of you who supported us by coming or by participating in any way. Thanks to Savannah for making us do this, because I'm not sure we would have been a part of it, but she pulled us into it, and it was just personally for me just a very mountaintop experience. And the community choir, I think, is something that's going to stay most of the next event.
Good, thank you. Anyone else? Prayer and praise request. And Melanie, while you had the floor, how's your mom?
Mom is back home with a round the clock caregiver that they bonded pretty well, and the therapies are all coming in, and its progress is slow, but it's wonderful that she's getting you know, anxious about it being so close. She wants to move faster, which is a total turnaround from her attitude about 3 weeks ago. So that's the biggest blessing, is that her approach has changed, and we keep seeing miracles of healing. So thank you for your prayer.
That's good. Are there any others? Pam? What was the sister's name? I'm sorry. And the first lady was Miss Madden.
Lorraine.
Anybody else? Larry, you were going to say something?
Myrtle Prudenthal is doing terrible. Get better, then get worse. Lois Patterson, I believe Lois is the name, is Karen Miles' aunt. She passed away, her father's sister. Joyce Ball, the Ball children's grandmother, passed away. That's listed there as Joyce Ball. Doug Pittenger is Reverend Ronnie Pittenger's brother, the youngest brother, lived in Memphis, passed away a week and 2 days ago on Friday, and lift that family up. And the three children and their mother died of cancer about a year ago. So the Doug Pittenger children and family. And that's the one I want to call it.
Okay. Any others? All right, here we pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for our worship of God. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Our call to worship this morning is in your bulletin, and it is responsive. I am the good shepherd, say the Lord. I know my own, and my own know me.
My sheep hear my voice, says the Lord. I know them, and they follow me.
O come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
Let's all stand, turn in our hymnals to hymn 97. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. He chose and seed of Israel's race, he ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Terrestrial born, to him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. at His feet may fall. Join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord above. We'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord above.
Let us bow for prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we know that the angels fall down before You and Your Son Jesus, who came to be our Savior and lived upon the earth a few years to reveal You in this special way to us, but then to die for our sins, but to be raised on the third day, ascended to be in Your throne, Lord. And we read throughout Your Word how even the angels come and bow down before You. Lord, we come as Your people. We come to bow before You. Lord, help us to make You the Lord of our lives. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and let's state our faith in God and the other things that God teaches us to believe in. 716.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
May be seated. Thank you. Call to confession this morning comes from 1 John 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We confess in unison today. It's in your bulletin. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed by what we have done. And by what we have left undone, we have not loved You with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In Your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways to the glory of Your holy name. Amen. If we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. hymn number 350, please.
Verses 1 and 4. 1 and 4.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I fruit Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Our offertory sentence today comes from Exodus chapter 35, verse 29. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord freewill offerings for all the work the Lord through Moses had commended them to do. Would our ushers come forward, please?
Let us pray. Lord God, we come willingly, realizing that all that we have comes from You, knowing that we could never give enough, but knowing that You accept what we're able to give. Bless each coin that is given, that it be used for the work that You have called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Steve and Melanie and Lewis and Ed, will you assist at the table? The Apostle Paul spent a great deal of time writing to the Corinthian church concerning the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And we often read from chapter 11, and we will in a moment. But back in chapter 10, he explained to them, that's his first letter to the Corinthians. Verse 16, chapter 10, verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The obvious answer to me was yes. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And again, the obvious answer to me, and I think that Paul, and to the Corinthians, and to you, yes. From the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul reiterated or restated what he had taught them before concerning the Lord's Supper. We often need to be reminded, and we try to at least read one of the passages concerning the institution of the supper each time we celebrate it. So receive these words from the Lord through the Apostle Paul, preserved for us in the book that we know as 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 and following. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he comes. And we're still waiting for him to come to claim his own, but we want to once again show forth his death, his sacrifice for us, that great expression of his love for us. Who is welcome at this table? Well, first we determine whose table it is. It's the Lord's table. It's not this church's table. It's the Lord's table. And all who belong to the Lord, or who are trusting in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, you are invited, even encouraged, to eat and drink, remembering His great sacrifice for you. So, who is to come to eat? Or who is to eat from the table? All who trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, first we thank you for Jesus, that you sent him to redeem us. Lord, to show us how we ought to live. To show us what you are like. And your word tells us, O Lord, that if we want to really see you, we can look at Jesus. Specifically, it tells us that he is you incarnate. Thank you for revealing yourself through him. Thank you for sending him when we could not help ourselves, that he would give his life for us while we were yet sinners. your Son died for us. We thank you. We do trust in you. We express that again. And we come today, O Lord, to eat, remembering His broken body, broken for us. Again, Lord, we just say thank you. And we say it so humbly. And we say it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord God, for this cup, the fruit of the vine, representing your shed blood. Lord, we know that Jesus shed it for our sins. Thank you. And let us experience Him anew as we partake. And in His name, Amen. you turn to number 72 and let's sing.
Glorify the King of Kings, we will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty, we will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Our scripture this morning is taken from several passages, a couple in Genesis and in Philippians and also in Colossians. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. The Word of God for the people of God.
And praise be to God.
Turn once more your hymn to hymn 73.
Thank you.
thou art worthy. Who's number one in your life? Some months ago, I read a book by one of my favorite writers, another preacher, and in that book, well, the whole book was about God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and we really can't separate the two. If Jesus was God in the flesh, and I believe He was, God being number one. So my hope and my dream and my purpose this morning is to remind us, myself included, and to challenge us to get the right person in the number one spot in our lives. I was in Nashville a few weeks ago. Oh, incidentally, I will borrow bits and pieces from Max Lucado or Lucado, however you say it. Don't know his name, but I still like his writings. Also, some of the passages that are listed are not correct. And if we get to them, I'll try to correct them as we go, if I can put my hand on that. I think 1 Corinthians 6:20, but it's not 31, and there is one more. I have trouble proofreading my own typewriting. A few weeks ago, I was in Nashville, probably going to Baptist Hospital for a visit to someone, and at Church Street and 20th, I was stopped by a red light. And I was the second car from the corner. And the car in front of me had a bumper sticker on it. Well, I've never liked bumper stickers since 1960. Because in 1961, I worked at the service station and I had to clean bumper stickers from the 1960 election off of automobile bumpers working at a service station. And they were difficult to get off. And so I haven't used a bumper sticker since then, and I didn't have a car before then, so I'm not a bumper sticker advocate. But you can learn a lot about people by reading their bumper stickers. Right? There is much that we can learn. This bumper sticker screamed at me, and the message was, "Back off. I'm a goddess." But the strange thing about that bumper sticker was that a man was driving the car. Thought that was rather unusual. But the redeeming factor about him driving the car, there was a woman in the passenger seat. And the bumper sticker was on the bumper on the right-hand side of the car. So maybe he was always the driver. I don't know. Maybe it was her bumper sticker. Westminster Confession. Written in the 1600s, the mid-1600s. Called the Confession of Faith, put together in a booklet, the Confession of Faith and larger catechism, shorter catechism for those who didn't want to learn a lot, I guess, and Director of Public Worship in Presbyterian Church Government, in Westminster meeting in Britain in, I think, 1640-something, they wrote a catechism. A larger one, as I said, and a shorter one. Both of them began with, what's the chief end of man. One of them says, what is the chief and highest end of man? And then the shorter catechism says, what's the chief end of man? The answer, may I read it? The answer in the larger catechism. What is a catechism? It's a series of questions and answers. I wrote it in your notes that I gave for you. The larger catechism, man's chief and highest end, or what is our purpose, is to glorify God and to fully enjoy Him forever. The answer to the shorter catechism just is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. It doesn't say anything about fully enjoying Him. The Bible tells us over and over and over the importance of glorifying God. The Bible, if we look for it, you know you can prove anything from the Bible, but this is pretty evident. The main purpose is that man's main purpose, the main purpose that we exist, is to glorify God. The main purpose that we exist is to bring glory to God. To give Him glory. I venture to say that this might be the first time that some of us have ever heard that. Some may exclaim, well, I didn't know that. And I was pretty far along in life before I realized that my main purpose for being on earth was to glorify God. I remember as a very youngster fearing God because I saw God up in the clouds looking down at me, going to slap me or punish me or snatch me away like an eagle snatching a rabbit off of the ground if I did something wrong. So I lived in somewhat of a fear in God, a fear of God, especially in the summertime when we were out in the yard a lot. But let's get it straight right now. Our number one purpose is to glorify God. Like it or not, God is number one. No matter what we think, God is number one. And we the creation of God, we are to give Him the glory. Glory due to Him. We're to honor Him. We honor Him for who He is, or we glorify Him for who He is. We glorify Him for what He has done. And that's pretty inclusive. We just glorify God for being God. But do we? Even church people, do we glorify God? Even disciples of Jesus, do we glorify God? Did the Corinthians glorify God, even in their communion service? Well, not hardly. But that was still their purpose. No matter what they did, that was still their purpose. My observation, and I don't think my observation is too far off base. If it is, I stand corrected. But my observation is that many have taken more seriously the second phrase of the answer to the question in the catechism, what's the chief end of man? And we've taken real seriously the answer to enjoy God forever, or to fully enjoy God forever. We want to enjoy Him. We want to make God second place and ourselves first, and we just want to enjoy Him. But are we willing to make Him number one? Number one in the universe. But not necessarily, or not only in the universe. Yes, necessarily, but not only in the universe, but in our lives. Many of us enjoy Him, at least in our minds, enjoy Him making us number one in the universe. Now, do I sound fussy? Am I too far off, though, other people that you know? That wouldn't fit us. I'm preaching to the choir, right? That's other people. You know a lot of people like this, though, don't you? And I venture to say that it's not only other people. Am I being too mean? Too challenging? It's a challenge and a reminder. Friends, we live in a me, me world. It's a me, me world that we live in. In many people's mind, the whole world revolves around them. You know anybody like this? Probably every family has at least one person like this that the whole family is supposed to revolve around that person. It's that person that always gets his way or her way. Every time that person gets his way or her way, in that person's mind, that reaffirms that they're number one. So we give them, let them have their way, and that says to them, it's always them in this case, you know that, you know where I'm going. It's always them, but it reaffirms that they really are number one, that the world is supposed to revolve around them. You know, I've tried to be that person. I've tried to be it in my family. We won't even talk about me trying to be it in the church. I've tried to be that first person in my family, but in my family I had two sisters vying for the same position. Three of us couldn't be number one. If we're number one at home, we try to transfer that number oneness to places outside the home. And if we're number one at home, we try to transfer that to work. And if we're number one at home, we try to transfer that to play. If we're number one at work and at home and at play, we try to, well, we'll probably be number one at church. And then if we're number one at home and church and work and play and, well, community, we'll be number one in the community. Even to the graveyard. Drive through a graveyard and see the biggest, we call them tombstones or grave marker. Am I really off base this morning? Am I really far out? Too far out? The president. And I helped elect him. But the other day, basically, he said, I'm number one. He said, I'm in charge. And somebody's got to be in charge. Parents. I'm not going to talk about my children this morning. Two of them got some of my characteristics. And there were only two, so both of them did. But I won't talk about them anymore. But parents may be to blame for people growing up to think that they're number one. We always got to blame somebody. Especially if it's that first child. Because that first child that we waited so long to come into the world. We waited 7 years, friends. And we were wanting to have children. And we did numerous things to help us have children. We even started to adopt children. Started that process. And then Susan came along, and I'm still talking. That was before they were born, though. The child that you waited so long for, and it was necessary when the child came into the world to cater to their every need. We had to wait on them. They could not take care of themselves. But some parents never told their child, "You're not number one anymore." And little sister or little brother often took that spot. And then the baby of the family. The baby, I've heard people say, we knew this would be the last one. Even the brothers and sisters said, "We knew this would be the last one, so we just spoiled that child and let them think they were number one." It made them number one in that family. Let's talk about that bumper sticker just a moment. Was that person that put that bumper sticker on that car, was that person trying to make a statement? I thought she was, or he was. Maybe he put it on for his wife, if it was his wife. Didn't know the family, just saw them fleeting moment. Trying to make a statement, somebody was, that person was number one. Did you know that until the year 1543, it was believed by the general population of the world that the earth was the center of the universe? Now, to say that now, people say, "You got to be kidding." Or, "They couldn't have thought like that." Yes, until 1543, it was believed that the earth was the center of the universe. In that date, if I did my research right, I got some more figures wrong in Bible verses, I may have gotten that. But it's still, the idea is there. 1543. What a shock it was. What a shock it was to learn that the earth was not the center of the universe. What a shock it was when the people, the learned people of the world, the church leaders especially, were told, "Hey, fellas, the sun is the center of the universe. The earth revolves around the sun. The sun does not revolve around the earth." There was a guy that I don't know much about that started talking about this. Copernicus, Copernice, I believe is spelled it. Copernicus. But then we all can say Galileo, or I can, that's easy to say, and we've heard about him. Galileo came and agreed with this Copernicus, and they put him in jail, I believe, locked him up, and threw him out of the church. Galileo, because he agreed that the earth was not the center of the universe. Max Lucado says that what Copernicus did for the earth, God does for the soul. He taps us on our collective shoulders and says, "Look at Jesus." He taps us on our shoulder and points to the Son, S-O-N, Jesus. And he says of his Son, of Jesus, "Behold, Jesus is the center of it all." Paul wrote it in the letter to the Colossians. Look at some verses that tell us that God and Jesus, his Son, and we've already said that we can't separate the two. God in the flesh, that's who Jesus was. That they are number one. New Testament verse that was printed, or the verses, tell us who Jesus is. Can we read them together? God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. It's not Larry that people bow down to. And it's not any of you that people are to bow down to. It's Jesus. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Then it goes on, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. speaking of Jesus. And all things were created by Him, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Thrones, our powers, our rulers, our authority. All things were created by Him and for Him. Before all things, and in Him all things hold together. That sounds like number one to me, doesn't it, to you? I hope it does. Then, in Ephesians chapter 1, God raised Christ from death and set Him on a throne in deepest heaven in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to government. No name and no power exempt from His rule, not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all. He has the final word on everything. At the center of all of this, Christ rules the church. That's the paraphrase in the message of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 through 22. Lakato says, and I wouldn't think of disagreeing with this, he writes just like I think or understand God's Word. God does not exist to make a big deal out of us. We exist to make a big deal out of Him. It is not about us. It's all about Him. All for Jesus. 3:6-8. Will you turn with me and let's think about this. Let's sing the first stanza and the fourth stanza. 3:6-8. All for Jesus. Lord God, we know that Your rightful position is number one. Lord, we're taught in Your Word that we should be way down the list. Sometimes we talk about You first, others second, and us third. Lord, it's not easy to
step aside. But we know with you working through us that we are able to do it. Because it's of your power. Even that we live by. And we offer ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen.
Maybe it's yes.
Thank you.
If you